Okay, guys. Well, welcome to another TDC Connected meeting. I'll start by just giving you the quick instructions I always kind of lay out beforehand. That is, your guys' lines are all muted to kind of knock out that background noise that we always seem to experience for whatever reason. So to participate in the call, simply hit *6 on your phone. That'll unmute your line. You can contribute and participate in the call, and then simply hit *6 again to mute your line after you've presented your message and we've moved on to other questions, et cetera. So thanks, everybody, for participating as usual. And I guess that was kind of an advance thanks, I guess. But I wanted to talk about a few things first, and then Harvey Fox is going to talk about some recent successes he's had with some of the marketing pieces that we discussed in our last TDC Connected call. He had some feedback to add to what he mentioned last time that's happened this month on a positive note. So thanks, Harvey, for calling me and letting me know that. And I always appreciate hearing that, and I always want to share that with your fellow franchise owners in case it's something that they're not utilizing that maybe they should. So I'll start out with kind of like quick announcements of what I had mentioned before, which was some new developments on the parts and repair availability. I had briefly mentioned it, but we really hadn't started stocking the stuff at the time, and that is our new availability on all the Midwest OEM slow speed parts. We now have on the shelf in stock replacement component parts for the Midwest Rhinos, the Midwest Shorty single and two speed, and the Midwest RDH. One of the things that you guys know we've always had a problem getting, or we haven't had the availability to get, are those outer housings that actually have the Midwest writing and even serial numbers on them. But we've got that stuff on the shelf now, OEM, and I don't know, it's pretty awesome to be able to buy a $30 housing and make a handpiece look brand new like it looked from, you know, when they first got it out of dental school or whatever. So that's kind of exciting. I know that we've done some recent repairs on that for some guys that were pretty amazed when they got them back. So we're pretty stoked about that. If you guys look in your item price list that is on the TDC Connected website, you can download or I can email it to you again. I think a couple of guys need it in PDF format, and I usually download it in an Excel format. Just let me know, and I can provide that for you. But if you look in the Midwest section, we're changing a lot of the descriptions over to just OEM parts because, I mean, literally some of them are a $2 or $3 difference between the OEM and the aftermarket. So on some of those housings and back ends and internal component parts, we're literally keeping the same part number. We've just eliminated carrying, or we basically just stopped carrying the OEM parts. We stopped carrying the aftermarket. We substituted in the OEM stuff. And so you guys have access to that. So check your item price list for those items, or you can just actually ask me. I think we've probably converted at least a third of the items over, maybe even not without telling you, just changing it in the, in Peachtree in our accounting system over to OEM stuff. So, you know, as long as they keep offering it to us at an affordable price, we're going to just carry all the OEM Midwest slow speed stuff that we can. So I'm pretty stoked about that, especially those clutch components for the internal workings on those Shorty True Torques and single speeds and two speeds. It's just making a world of difference. Then secondly, we also have the Star Motor to Angle Adapter, the new style that it's got like four prong in the back end housing. You have to unscrew that. There's a couple bearings involved, and then there's a drive shaft in the middle that has a huge step on it. We've got that stuff available now too, including the bearings, that rear retaining nut, that internal shaft with the step up on it, and the gears. I don't know how many of you guys have run into those yet, but the few guys that have been either real confused on it or maybe even accidentally damaged the motor to angle adapter just because it's a different style than the standard one you guys are used to. On another update, that the Dash B turbines that we've been sampling, it's that spindle developed by Shine using the Kavo technology that they're able to get because they're owned by the same parent company. And then according to Tim Ropechan, they're using the Timken manufacturing facilities to manufacture those. We began testing them in September of 2012, and Bud just let me know the other day he got his first one back this month, and it came back not with a bad chuck, but just with bad bearings on it at the 11-month mark. So he said the chuck still held great, but the bearings were gone, so he's pretty stoked with those. I know Scott Marks told me he's probably bought 200-plus of those Dash B Kavo / you know, Timken spindles, and he said that he just got two stars back. So basically we've had two failures since September of last year, so that's a pretty good record. As most of you guys know, any of the other brands, you'd have more than that. So anyway, pretty good results on those. Just to, you know, kind of re-huddle on that, they're the balanced spindle with that better chucking system that has the stronger burr retention, basically longer life, and it's got an easier button activation so that the female dentist will appreciate that. They were, I think, when we first released them, just available in the Midwest Tradition lever and push button and the Star 430. Now they're also available for the Kavos small head and large head and the entire W&H line. So if you got a W&H handpiece, they've developed that entire line. So I wanted to let you know that. Thirdly, I keep getting questions, and this is actually something that Bud sent out a announcement about, a tech tip of the month, and that was the chatter that you guys can experience on your Kavo handpieces. And I just got a call from someone on that the other day. If you're experiencing chatter on your Kavo handpieces when you're cutting into kind of a hard surface, or the doc's cutting into a crown or something and complaining about chatter, and you've just done an overhaul or whatever on it, just think red, red, red. It's that red Sable Kavo O-ring that they've, according to the tech over at Sable, he's switched over to that O-ring on all the Kavos. In talking with Bud, he switched over to that 10106 SR, which is just the Sable Kavo Red O-ring. He switched over to that on anything that has wavy washers in it. So that's, I think, the Kavo 6000B and beyond. Everything from there on or forward has the wavy washers in it, and that's what Bud switched over to. But typically, if you replace the front O-ring, the black O-ring, with that red Sable O-ring, you'll eliminate any chatter problems. And then the last thing I wanted to mention before we started talking to Harvey was, and this is something I experienced, and I talked about it with Bud briefly. I've been helping out in tech for obvious reasons over the last week, and I think so far this week in 2 days, I got 3 phone calls from guys working on something new, something they had not worked on before. And when I asked them about a couple of old parts or some parts that I wanted them to measure and mic up to see that we were talking about the same thing, they had thrown the parts away already. So please, please, please remember to just make a little junk pile of whatever parts you're pulling out of a handpiece, especially one that you haven't worked on before, and leave them there. Leave them in a little pile or put them in a little baggie or something until you get that handpiece repaired and cutting well and packaged up and ready to go back to your dock, before you throw those parts away. Because there might be, in a couple of cases I worked with personally this week, there was some spacer washers in there that we just flat out don't have on the shelf here, and the franchise owner had to go digging in the trash can, and we all know how fun that is not. So anyway, just kind of just a reminder, please, please, please do not throw the parts out of a handpiece, especially one that you haven't worked on before, away until you get that handpiece running properly. Those were kind of the state of the union little announcements that I wanted to get to you guys while I had all your attention. So what I wanted to do now is kind of follow up on some marketing discussion that we had the last TDC Connected meeting. Alex Igdalski talked about the business card magnets, and in speaking with about 4 or 5 others, you guys all think that that is a fantastic idea, so it's actually something we're going to integrate into new franchisees that come in here. We're going to recommend that they do get some magnetized business cards as well as having their standard business cards. You guys, I don't need to go over it again, but Harv and Alex and Dave Reinhardt had great reasons as to why the magnetized business cards were a good idea. So Harv might even be able to talk a little bit about that, and then also about some giveaway items. Harv, are you ready to talk briefly about those items? Just remember, hit *6, Harv, and that'll unmute your line.
Yes. Hi, David.
Hi, Harv. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what I did earlier today was I took pictures of your business card magnet and then also the flashlight giveaway item that you had mentioned having success with during the last TDC Connected meeting. And what Harv was nice enough to do, guys, was give me the contact information and pricing that he had on some flashlights, some sticky notes, magnetized business cards, and some desk calendars. So that's all in your email. But really what I wanted to talk to Harv about was some of the successes he's had recently with those items. Go for it, Harv.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Of the non-literature or printed promotional items, so far in my tenure with the Dentist Choice, I've done about a total of 8 of them. For example, calendars, oil pens, cookies, jelly beans, sticky notes, magnetic business cards, Wilbur Buds, which is kind of like the Hershey Kiss. And the one that unequivocally had given me the most success is the flashlight. And my first reaction to that when I saw the advertisement was, but I want something that will stay in the office, and I wasn't sure if that would happen. And so I gave it thought for a while. I almost left the special offer expire before I made the order, and it turned out to be probably the most effective non-printed, non-literature type promotional item that I'd given out. As you recall, those of you that were in on, or if you were not in on the last month's meeting, just a few minutes before our meeting started, I got a call from a new customer saying, I have no information on you except for this flashlight that I have, and I'm wondering how I go about sending a handpiece to you. And the thing that went through my mind, or that the thought that went through my mind, is I wonder what they're doing with all the other promotional items that I'm giving, especially by way of literature. And since then, I had at least four to five more calls just on the flashlight, saying, I can't find anything else but have the flashlight. And that just really made me a believer in the flashlight. And here's another interesting thing. I ordered, I think it was 800 of them, or 700 or whatever it was. And so far, I've probably been less than a halfway through my territory since I've been giving the flashlights out. So far, I have not mailed them. I just take them along on my promotional or marketing office visits. And if I don't get to speak to the doctor, which I seldom have that opportunity, if it's a larger office, I will give my short sales pitch. And one of the items that I always give out are the jelly beans, and that's a very worthwhile one because some people call me the jelly bean man. But what I do, the second to last item that I give is the jelly beans, and if I detect that the receptionist or whoever I'm talking to has a sense of humor, for example, I'll say, now, you know, nothing comes free nowadays. Those jelly beans are actually a bribe. I'm wondering, then I whip out the flashlight and say, could I con you into giving this to the doctor or the decision maker who decides where the handpieces go for repair? And they say, oh, sure, yes. And, you know, as I said, I had close to a half dozen calls on people that had only the flashlight that were brand new customers. And, so I strongly recommend it, and I think, as David already said, if you refer to the email that he sent out, is the information on there. I called the vendor from which I received the flashlight. I believe it was
Amanda from National Pen.
Yes, from National Pen. And Amanda said that if any other Dentist Choice franchisees are interested, make sure you ask for her and mention that there will be some special pricing available. So I would just highlight that note. Also, if you look at the picture of my flashlight, I did do a little typo. I missed the S on the word dentist, but it didn't seem to be a problem. They were able to make the lettering a little larger, but that was kind of an oversight on my part. But all it says is the Dentist Choice, handpiece repair, and my phone number. And that's about it, David, unless you have any other questions.
No, in fact, one of the questions I was going to ask you was how many new customers you think you've received just, you know, based on, and they've even mentioned the flashlight, and you just said it. So you've had like six new customers that specifically mentioned this flashlight as being the marketing item that they had held on to, and none of the others. So if you hadn't given them that flashlight, it's almost like you may not have even got them as a customer because they would have lost your other information, right?
Right, correct. And another thing I noticed, and I don't know if this was just incidental, if it woke other prior customers up or not, but I started probably 2 months ago with the flashlights, at least 2 months ago, and my August has picked up considerably. It was double from last month. Of course, I'm fairly new yet, so double doesn't mean a whole lot, but for me, it's a big deal.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, doubling any business is great, so I'm glad to hear that. I don't know if you would attribute all of that success to the flashlight, but it certainly played a part, right?
Especially for the new customers that I got, yes.
And then one of the things I was going to mention was that I had even said, and it's just like, and Steve backed you up because he had actually talked, I guess, years ago to a franchise or two that actually did kind of a flashlight giveaway, and they were probably successful with it too. But my comment to you last TDC Connected meeting was, Harv, I'm not connecting a flashlight with handpiece repair. But then again, how does jelly beans or candy or chocolate or any of that really relate? It's just marketing. It's a marketing item, and if you're catching somebody's attention and you're catching their interest with an item, who cares what it is, right? It doesn't have to be a pin in the shape of a tooth, right?
Right.
So that's just awesome that this flashlight idea is just taken off so rewardingly for you, if that's a word. 700 flashlights you purchased. They're about $1 each, 99 cents each, I think it was your special price.
Right.
You've given away about half, so that's 350 of them, and you've already got six new customers.
Yes.
Off of that flashlight.
One other thing I would add to that.
I mean, it's paid for itself 7-8 times over if you never got another customer ever again with the flashlight deal. I mean, it's just the success on that is pretty phenomenal because of the fact that they're actually mentioning it, that they have that, Marv, and they don't have your other marketing materials, right?
Right. And I have one more word of
wisdom.
Information.
Okay.
If anyone else orders them, when I received them, they came, it was UPS or FedEx or whatever, and when I opened the boxes just to verify my order, I noticed there was probably 20 of them turned on, and I think the switches got bumped on from being thrown around during the shipping process. And if I had it to do over again, and what I would recommend to anyone else who does it, open up the boxes. If any of them are on, don't go through and turn them off because the batteries are, who knows, about dead. Just pull them out while they're on. And then call National Pen and tell them how many were on. The batteries are dead because they were on. And they sent replacements out totally free to replace the ones that were on. I just estimated. I said there were about 20 of them, so they sent me 20 flashlights. And they did assure me that they guarantee customer satisfaction.
Well, that's pretty cool. Thanks for that word of wisdom, because I don't know how they would have turned these things on. I've got one of Harvey actually sent me a sample flashlight, and this button's pretty stout. I mean, it's got a nice You gotta push it pretty good to get it to turn on.
Yeah,
but these UPS guys, I mean, who knows how far they launched it from, you know, the conveyor belt to the truck.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And does anyone have any questions for Harv regarding that or any of his other marketing materials? Please chime in, guys. *6.
Hey, David. Tony Davis.
Yeah, Tony.
Hey, I've been using this company for 13 years since I started with the ink pens they sell.
Uh-huh.
And it is a great company to deal with. The pens, that's the one thing I've only used. And every time I go in the office, the first thing I usually get asked, got any more of them ink pens? Got any more of them ink pens? And a lot of times, like Harvey was saying, I've had offices call me only because they had the ink pen. They didn't have a business card or they didn't have a brochure. They just had that ink pen laying around. And that's the one thing I was trying to think of, something they could use in the office because I know they'd all be writing. So I've been buying what they call the Colorama pen, and they have a dental logo barrel. And then I just get the dentist's choice, put on my name and phone number, local handpiece repair. And I usually wait to when they run a special on them where you buy one and get two free. And I just placed an order, so I bought 500 pens, got 1,000 free, and it was like $350.
Holy cow. And it's just, it's National Pen?
Yeah, it's from the same company. And like Harvey said, they are a great company to deal with. I had some pens that had some clips missing, called them up. I mean, they take care of it. They're just a great company to deal with. Not like I said, I've been using them ever since I started, and just a super company to deal with.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. That's two pretty resounding recommendations from you guys on these things.
David,
and
Oh, no, go ahead, finish what you're saying.
Well, those are pretty two resounding recommendations from you guys, so I'm going to get that and disseminate that information to all of you guys as well from the National Pen.
Just another plug for National Pen.
Sure.
I currently have a special offer for them on what they call lantern pens. It's a pen with the light, the LED light on the push button side. They're 59 cents each.
And that's a light up pen?
Yes.
And how well are those being received? Probably just as well, huh?
Those I did not get yet.
Oh, okay. You just haven't received them yet.
They're offering that pen.
Oh, that's cool. So it's a pen and it's a flashlight.
Right. 59 cents each.
Holy cow. That's pretty amazing that they can do that for 50 cents. And then you just wait for a special offer? Do they have special offers pretty often, guys?
Right. I get an email from them about twice a week, and I always look at them because they have some worthwhile items on there.
Okay. Well, so Tony's recommending the pens that, and you said there was some sort of barrel, dental barrel, where they offer?
Yeah, they call it a Colorama pen.
Uh-huh.
And then they have, like, different logo barrels that you can get. They got, like, for auto mechanics, hairdressers. And they got one that's called a dental pen.
Huh.
And on one end, it's got, like, a tooth with some dental floss. On the other end, it's got, like, a toothbrush and toothpaste. And then it's got the center where they can print your information. And just a nice little pen.
Okay. And then there's some option. Maybe you can get me that information via email, kind of exactly what you ordered, Tony, and I'll get that out. I'll forward that to everybody.
Yeah, I can do that for you, man.
Okay, I appreciate that. Awesome. That's really cool. Any other questions for either Tony or Harv on this stuff, guys? Don't be afraid to chime in, especially if you have some successes with some other items that guys might be interested in using. Okay, well, I guess you guys covered it, Tony and Harv, and I appreciate it. Thanks, guys, for your input on that stuff.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, I guess we're half an hour in here, and that was the materials that I had prepared for you guys. So I wanted to leave kind of the last half here for kind of an open floor topic discussion. Does anybody have any topics they'd like to discuss with the other 16 or 18, however many it was, franchise owners that are on the call? Remember, it's *6 to chime in, guys, and then *6 again to mute your line.
David,
hey, David, Tony again.
Yeah, Tony.
I just started doing a customer loyalty reward card, you know, after we talked about it the last time.
Yeah, that was like two TDC Connected meetings ago, the one that Alex introduced.
Yeah, and I just started here a couple weeks ago, and what I am doing, I've made a card, and I've got where they do 9 repairs, and they get the 10th one up to $100 value free. And what I'm doing, I'm punching mine. I bought a special punch. Got it at a craft store. Don't think too many dentists would be running to a place like to pick up a punch, you know.
Uh-huh.
But what I have done is on my customers that do a lot of business with me, when I get a repair in or as I'm going into their office, I'm giving them 2 free punches just to tell them that I'm helping them get started on their way toward the free repair. And then if they do a repair, I give that punch too. So say like a customer that does a lot of business, he's getting 3 punches right off the bat on his first card, you know. And I haven't got any in the mail back yet because, like I said, I just started this about 2 weeks ago. But I'm expecting great response because I know as we're out doing service calls, the dentist offices that I've been going into is, like, really lighting up when they see that. And I'm telling them, I said, hey, you know, Kroger's is doing it, everybody else. And I said, I'm going to do the same thing. It's just our way of showing our appreciation for your business with us. And please hang on to this and just return it with your repairs, and we'll get it marked for you and get you taken care of so you can get your free repair. And I think it's going to be a great thing once it gets it going, you know.
I agree. I know that Scott Marks asked me for all the information on that. They're going to start a handpiece reward or loyalty reward card with their customers. And then Alex, of course, has been using it. I think he said he'd been using it for like a year. And he does get those in. He does get those back and on regular basis, and he fills in, you know, one of the little lines with his signature per handpiece that comes in, and he does the 11th one free. But that punch idea, similar, also a great idea, Tony. So I think you'll be successful with it too. So please, please keep us informed on your successes with it because it may be something that most, not everyone else, wants to also employ to keep those darn customers that seem to kind of slip away on you just because someone came in and offered a repair for $10 less, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly. And you know, like you think about it, you know, when we talked about it here a few minutes ago, everybody's doing it. You know, you go to the gas station, you can get sodas after so many you purchase, and why not with hand pieces, you know? And then it just builds in that loyalty then because they're getting them punches like we talked about or marking off on the card, and they look at it and say, oh, I'm only 2 away for a free repair. So
yeah, why would they use someone else because they're $10 cheaper when if they do 2 more repairs with you, they're getting a free handpiece repair, $90
Correct.
Value. Yeah, no, that's awesome. I'm so glad that you kind of took to that too, and I know it's successful because Alex has used it for over a year, and he says it's been successful. He's tracked the progress, and he's notated it, and he even gave us some of those numbers 2 months ago on the TDC Connected call. So I'm very interested to hear from you guys on that as well. And you know what? Someone else was trying to chime in, Tony, when you and I were starting this discussion. Who was that? I'll open the
It's door. Harv.
Yeah, Harv.
Yeah, 2 things. I also have my version of the 11th free repair at the printer right now. But what I was going to say is, if you're interested in a suggestion for one of these teleconference meetings in the future,
oh,
I would have
always,
one.
Always.
Planning at least a month in advance, or maybe more, is announced that we will have one of questions and answers of do's and don'ts and helpful hints and tips of anything regarding business, whether it's repairing something or how somebody does something or whatever. Because in my business, and for those of you that are listening in that don't know me well, I just started my 4th year. I'm in it for a little over 3 years now. And I get into a lot of situations that I wonder how the other guys do it, but when something like this comes up, I forget what the question was or whatever. If I knew we were going to have such a thing in advance, I'll make a question list. And every time I think of something like that, I'd write it down, and then when this meeting comes up, I'd be all primed to say, hey, I came across this problem or that problem, or I found something that really worked great.
I would find that very helpful, especially those of us that are only in the business for a couple of years.
I am absolutely 100% all for that, as I know every single other person on this call is. So please do this for me and for your fellow franchise owners, and that is, when you think of those ideas, guys, anybody on the phone here, email it to me. Because what I do is I have a TDC Connected folder right here on my desk, and anytime somebody – that's where I get my ideas for every conference call. Two conference calls ago, Alex said he wanted to talk about his handpiece reward card. And then the last one, I think Dave Reinhart wanted to talk about the magnets or the marketing. And so somebody will mention something like that for me, so that's what we'll go with because it's what you guys are interested in. So that's a great idea, Harv, and just everyone out there, just please do me this favor. Email it to me. I'll compile a list of, let's say that we come up with 8 or 10 or 12 of those questions, and then I'll email that list out to you guys prior, like a week prior to the meeting. That way you all have a chance to digest it, think about you. Maybe you'd be good to answer questions 1, 3, and 7, and some other franchise owner has a great solution for question number 6, and somebody else has a question, you know, really knows about question number 10. So if I can get those, if you can get those to me, I'll absolutely positively email out all those Q&As a week before the meeting so that you all have a time to kind of digest and either formulate more questions or formulate answers to the questions that folks have. So great idea, Harv. We'll absolutely 100% do that for sure. So everybody out there, and I'll even put an email out following this meeting, Harv, telling people that that's what we're going to do for our next meeting.
I have one.
Yeah, Charlie?
Hi, one quick thing. Just a word of, wisdom from going through this. When you order any of those pins, anything you use in your business that you're not passing on the tax and stuff to, be sure and pay consumer use tax on it to the city, the county, and the state. They are looking for money. And I've had people, they come back on people for not paying consumer use tax. So I don't know. You check into it in your state and see how that works and everything. But they like to let you go for a few years and then fine you like crazy.
So what you're saying is if you buy, like, this giveaway item, like these Colorama pins that Tony was talking about, so if you spend, let's say, $100, you'd need to pay $7.50 or whatever the tax is on it, like, right then and there, because then you're like, the end user. And
well, sometimes the companies put a tax on it, but sometimes it's only a state tax. And if you live in a county and a city, you need to pay consumer use tax to the county and city on that amount of money.
Huh.
Yeah.
Not like California.
It's a little different, and it may be different in every state, but there's such a thing as they need to just check and see what consumer use tax responsibilities are in their state and their city and stuff, because they've come back on a dentist here for, you know, those little penny toys that you order out of state. Well, he didn't realize he didn't pay any tax on them, and they ended up fining $8,000.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's crazy because they're really looking for money. Anyway, it's just one of those things that, you know, in a business, consumer use tax on anything, pins, jelly bellies, anything that you pass on to that customer like that. If you're not paying tax on it, or if you're only paying state tax, you need to pay, because I pay county and city on those.
Wow.
And they do like to come back and get you on those.
Well, thank you, Charlie. Everybody kind of look into your own state. You know, look at it, your own state. Every, like you just said, every state, every city, seems like every county is, they tax their residents differently. But
that's,
yeah,
right.
Guys,
they do. A lot of,
kind of,
do have consumer use tax, and it's just a lot of people are not really totally aware of it. And some people have gotten some rude wings on businesses because they like to come after them.
It can't,
you
be
know,
much. What's
little,
the consumer use tax, like 1 or 2%, or what kind of?
Well, it's like in our state, our whole tax is a combination of state, county, and city tax. So it's a total of 8.5%. But I pay 2.5% to the county, and I pay 4% to the state, and then, you know, then you pay the rest of the city. I know it's a kind of a weird thing, and I know that it's that way in Missouri, because, you know, of people I know, there, but, you know, in every state's different. Just be aware because, you know, how the IRS is starting to come after people. And,
well, so are all the counties and cities.
And counties and cities, they want money.
Right.
So I'm just saying, if you pay it up front, it's a very minor tax that you pay them. Very minor. I mean, it's just practically negligent. But if you don't pay it, it can get expensive.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Just check into
that.
It. Just
no, that's
into
words
it.
Of wisdom, because nobody wants to get. Oh my God.
You don't want to come back a few years down the road and have them come after you. So
ridiculous.
I just kind of, you know, I listened to a few people and learned the hard way, and so I made sure to cover my buns on that one. Okay. All right. Well, that's all I had to say.
No,
just
thanks a lot.
Little
Charlie.
Words.
I appreciate
just
that.
Check into it.
Thank you, Charlie. Anybody else, guys? Open floor.
David.
Yeah.
This is Monty. I had talked to you about if any people were doing a referral, and a specific referral, not just for the dentist, but if I've actually talked to a dentist or two, and maybe it would be bad to let, you know, if a assistant or a hygienist gave a referral, give them something, because a pre-repair doesn't, in my opinion, probably doesn't impress them as much as maybe a gift card. I just want any thoughts on that.
Yeah, what Monty's asking here, guys, because Jay Eubanks, I think I mentioned it, Monty had asked me this before, and it was, you know, does anybody offer a referral program? And Jay Eubanks does, and his referral program has to do with just the dentist and, you know, discount repair if they refer one of their fellow dentists. But Monty's point was, well, is there anything you offer the girls in the office as part of a referral? You know, if Cindy at Dr. Smith's office knows, you know, Jennifer over at Dr. Jones' office and refers them, I mean, a Starbucks card or some sort of gift card or what kind of referral you would offer there, because obviously it doesn't really benefit Cindy anything that her doctor is getting one free repair. I mean, you know what I mean? So that was your question, right, Monty? Well, I think you muted your line, but that was Monty's question as I understood it. So does anybody offer any kind of a referral program to an actual receptionist or hygienist or office manager? If so, let me know. Let us know. Hello? Anyone? No, it doesn't sound like it, Monty. I know there's not everybody's on this call. It sounded like we had about 18 or 20 folks on this call out of the group. So I can email that same question out to the entire franchise system and see if we get a little bit better feedback on that, Monty. But still a good and valid question. I think most of people's referral programs are all, you know, doctor and handpiece repair related stuff rather than
David, Tony's here.
Giveaways. Yeah, Tony, what do you got?
What I'll do on a lot of offices, because I'll have some from time to time, you know how a worker will move from one office to another. But if I get a referral, a lot of times what I'll end up doing is kind of like you mentioned, I'll either buy like a restaurant gift card or whatever, and I just send it to those offices that do that for me, just my way of saying thank you, you know, for them referring me.
So you just send it to the whole office like a gift card that they could all
utilize? I actually send it to the individual that refers me. So like,
oh, okay.
If Susan says to another doctor, hey, I use Tony Davis for handpiece repairs, and they call me and they said that Susan at such and such office told us they use you, what I'll end up doing, I'll just mail a gift card directly to Susan and just put a note in there saying, hey, thank you so much for the referral to Dr. So-and-so's office. This is my way of saying thank you and hope you enjoy it, you know, and I'll do like a restaurant gift card or coffee gift card or whatever, you know.
And then my follow-up question to that would be, so has that Susie ever – have you ever had the same person actually refer another office after that?
Not that I know of, but I know I usually get a call for that person saying, hey, you didn't have to do that, but I really appreciate it. And I said, no, it's the least I could do. Thank you so much.
So you're thanking her, and then you're kind of solidifying that relationship with that office at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, that's a smart idea. I would be stoked to hear that. You know, that now Cindy referred you or Susie referred you to two other offices, you know what I mean? Then that'd really be awesome. But not bad, still good. But, yeah, did that answer your question, Monty?
Yeah, unfortunately, the second I finished the question, my phone decided to drop, so I had to get back on. But I'll listen to the recording, I think. I'll listen to the recording and get the rest of the answer.
Well, I'll just let you know real quick. What Tony Davis said was that he has actually run into that situation where an office has said, hey, we heard about you from Susie over at Dr. Smith's office. So what Tony has done is actually got out and went out and bought a little like restaurant gift card and sent it directly to Susie and thanked her for referring him to whatever that other office was. And then he's received phone calls back from Susie or Jennifer, whoever the gal may be, saying, thank you, didn't have to do it, really appreciated it. And so he's kind of solidified his relationship with that office. And then I had a quick follow-up question, well, have you ever got two or three referrals from the same gal in an office? And he said, not yet. But I'd be interested to know if that worked and that you continued to get more referrals from that same person who was very grateful, right?
Yeah. Well, so also, I just wonder how you could publicize and get it out there instead of it just happening. That would be the thing. I'd like to be able to hand them a, you know, but, and again, you don't want to make the dentist mad. And that. So, anyway. Hello?
Yep.
Okay,
I'm
afraid my phone dropped again.
No, it didn't drop. We're all here listening.
I had a beat, so anyway. I'm keep following up. I'm trying to meet with some dentists and some people up front and just talk to them about issues like this, maybe take them to lunch and stuff. So anyway.
Yep, great.
Thanks.
Great question. Thank you. Thank you very much, Tony and Monty. Okay, guys, anyone else? Well, we have a little open floor time here. Got anything else to add or ask your fellow franchise owners? Please don't hesitate.
David, it's Harv. I would have one.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of in the line of Q&A we're talking about, and it's something I just run into yesterday and today regarding, I guess I would describe it as a quote, repair quote versus an estimate. And I run into that with that handpiece that I was just discussing with you this morning, that Laris, where I got the handpiece in for repair. I did my estimate on it. You know, I put it on the test bench, run it, and checked it all out, even pulled off the back cap, looked at the turbine, and I decided, yeah, it needs this turbine because it had poor burr retention. And so I gave him the price, and I opened the thing up, tried to put a new turbine in, and discovered that this thing must be an oddball, that it doesn't take the turbine that I thought it took. So the turbine that it needed was like $30 more than the one that I gave the estimate for. What do most of you guys do or recommend in that case? Do you charge them for what you estimated, or do you say, hey, call them back and say, hey, I estimated wrong, or you just bite that bullet, or what are your suggestions?
Well, the floor is open for anyone who would have a recommendation there, but that can also be a good question for us to pose for the folks for next month.
Yeah, and if you want to answer that later, that would be fine.
Hi, this is Don Randall in San Bernardino. I'd like to comment on that question because that's a really good question for me as well. What I typically do is eat it, and I probably shouldn't. But when I quote a customer, well, I tell my customers they'll never cost more than $89.95. If they do, I'm going to call them and let them know what the new cost is. When I call them and let them know what the new cost is, and then I find out later that it even costs me more, typically I'll eat it if I can break even. If it goes over breaking even and it actually starts costing me money, I kind of work the situation a little bit harder, but that's my opinion and what I've been doing. I would love to know a better solution for that. That's my comment. Thank you.
Yeah, is that consistent with what you've been doing, Harv, or is that different from what you've been doing?
I've been eating it so far. And, yeah, I would concur with that pretty much. If it was a much greater difference, I would call and negotiate it with the doctor.
Yeah, I pretty much will. If I quote him a certain thing, I'll either eat it. But I'm trying to be a lot – this is Charlie. I'm trying to be a little more careful, especially with the electrics attachments. Before I quote him anything, I'll tell him, I'm going to quote you this amount. If I find anything else, I'll give you a call, you know, first before we do anything. Kind of leaving an open door a little bit because there's so many little pieces in that, you know, so many parts and electric attachments there. Hello?
Yep. Thank you, Charlie.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, on the electric stuff, that stuff's just impossible. I had a doctor call me from San Diego about 2 weeks ago, and he wanted a quote on an electric attachment. And I said, $5.95. I mean, I didn't want to give him one. He's like, well, can't you just give me a ballpark? And I said, sure, $5.95. And he said, wow, that's expensive. What if it only needs bearings? And I said, doctor, if it only needs bearings, it will be much, much less. But it's much easier for me to give you a higher quote and come down on the price than it would be for me to give you a low estimate and then call you back and tell you it's a couple hundred dollars more. I said, you know, on the electrics, it can range anywhere from $295 to $695, really. It's just amazing how many different component parts are in them. And that's why we like to have the handpiece here before we quote you. But yeah.
Well, and like I got one yesterday. Just make sure that they totally understand which part that they had paid for. Like he paid for a transmission and an intermediate gear, and now it needs bearings. So I mean, you know, when I take it back to him, sometimes I have a diagram and I will mark on there what was repaired. Because sometimes it's internal, you know, and so this is what was repaired before, but this is what's wrong now. They got to understand how many working parts are in there, and that just because, you know, we repaired something 4 months ago, you know, it's not necessarily still that part, you know, those parts may be under warranty, but not anything else.
Right, just like your car, right, where if you went in because the transmission was bad, if 3 months later, you know, your head gaskets go bad, that's another charge, you know.
That's right.
Your transmission warranty.
But they have a real hard time with that, and so I try to be real upfront with them, you know, and I try to have that diagram that you've put out before about the internal components and then kind of give them a ballpark figure, you know, say, hey, if it's this, this, and this, and sometimes, depending on the part that I find, I might fax them that and show them that diagram and say, this is what needs to be fixed right now.
That's a great idea because if you can show it to them like that, with that where it's kind of that, I imagine you have that diagram where it shows all the internal component parts.
Yes. You
can actually physically point to the parts. Listen, I mean, if I changed all of these, you'd be looking at a $700 bill, but we only need to change these, which is why your bill was $400.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then if something comes up in the future where some of those other component parts are bad, at least
they
know they're not double paying for the same.
They're not double paying because, you know, they do. You know, they are extremely expensive, and they can get ticky pretty fast. So I just try to tell them up front, these are the parts that are in there. This is what we're fixing now, you know. And on that, I've made up a sheet of that diagram and made kind of a ballpark estimate on each component being replaced. Oops, hold on.
If they go to the factory, automatic everything.
Yeah, and if they go to, they can tell their customer, if they go to, like you've told us before, if they go to the factory, they pretty much replace everything just no matter what.
Oh, yeah, the factory doesn't have an overhaul price.
Yeah, they don't have it. They just get everything out, put everything new in.
Exactly.
So, I mean, but you know, to cover yourself, you know, because, I mean, that's usually the first thing they say, well, we just had this repaired. You know, and I go, okay, let me look and see, and I'll tell them. I say, well, what we did is the intermediate gear. We didn't do, you know, the turbine, so let me see what's going on with it. You know.
Well, that was a great question, Harv, and I will pose that absolutely for our Q&A session as well. Charlie had some good input on the electric stuff, and Don, it sounds like, is on the same page with you on kind of the high speed. So I'll pose it, and I'm sure we'll get a lot of response to that question. That's a great question, Harv. Really good.
Yep, good one.
Hey, David, this is Jay. Do you have a brief moment?
Absolutely, Jay, for sure.
On the issue of do you eat the estimate if it's wrong, and I agree with everyone, yeah, you do. I had a few of those early on, and what I actually have is additional checklist. If I get a handpiece and the practice wants an estimate for the repair, I'm a little more meticulous than I normally would be, if you will. I make sure that I take the complete turbine out, make sure there's absolutely no dents inside the head or any obstructions in the water lines or air lines or chip air or anything else. We all do that as a general rule. But I found I got bit a couple times on an estimate because it didn't look like there was a dent, but when I went back with the authorization from the practice to repair it, I found the dent because the turbine replacement did not work correctly. So I have this extra checklist that I make sure there's no dents, make sure the back cap's working perfectly, check out air, water, chip, and all that good stuff. And then when I call the practice, I've covered any extra things that I may have missed on just a quick glance because they do want an estimate. And that has made me much more I very rarely get an estimate that I miss something by 20 or 30 bucks now because I do those extra few steps, but it's worth it. And since the practice wants an estimate, you know, my normal of if I pick it up today with normal repairs, you'll have it back tomorrow. When they do want the estimate, I'll say, all right, I'll check all this out. I'll get hold of you tomorrow. When I do call in the next day and say I'm calling with the repair estimate, it's pretty easy for me to get to either the dentist or his assistants to review it and approve it as opposed to, well, they'll call you back. I kind of set that up pre-stage. But my little extra checklist has saved me a lot of, oh, my gosh, I should have charged or could have charged for, you know, reaming out the head on the 635B because it had a slight dent. Didn't really see it, but it didn't really fit. Anyway, that was my point on that.
No, that's a great response. I really appreciate it, Jay. Would you mind just sending me via email or whatever or in the mail or something that checklist if you've got it?
Oh, sure. Yeah,
I'll do that
for you.
Is it something that you present to an office or is it something you just have on your own?
No, it's something I have at the lab.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. All right, I'll write that up for you.
Well, I appreciate everybody participating and joining in the conference. We're out of our hour's time here, but thank you everybody from Tony to Harv to Jay to Charlie to Monty and anyone else that commented, Don. Thank you guys. Another great meeting. Once again, it's recorded and will be available for you guys to listen to later today on the TDC Connected website. Hope you all have a great day, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.